Good morning. God bless you, everybody. So glad that you're here with us this beautiful Monday morning. And just wanting to praise God that you're here with us and that you're enjoying a beautiful morning with Him. Hopefully you've been able to spend a little time in worship. And if not, that maybe you can do that afterwards, because I know that God loves worship and He inhabits the praises of His people. And this morning, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about hope and about battles and about how the Lord wants to reward us for what we do. So before we start, I just want to open in prayer and say, Father God, we just come before you and we just want to praise you. We want to praise you just for who you are. We love that you love us so much. We just want to return back a little bit of that love. Lord, we dedicate our lives and our businesses afresh to you this week. Lord, I pray that you would speak through my mouth of clay as I talk this morning, as I share your word and the thoughts that you've laid on my heart. I pray that you will touch, take your words and touch the hearts and lives of those that are listening, either to the recording or on the call live with us today, Lord. Lord, I pray that everything I say and do be lifted up to you in praise and in worship and be honoring and pleasing to you. My whole goal in life is to have you be my everything, Lord. We love you so much, and we come boldly before you, and we come to study your word as well as to pray, because you tell us in your word, wherever two or three are gathered in your name, that you're there also, and that you'll give us whatever we ask for, Lord, that you want us to be in fellowship with you. You want us to crawl up into your lap, that you want us to be your children.
Good morning.
And have you be our God. So, Lord, we just thank you for that. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, this morning, I'm going to be really honest with you, because sometimes everybody, you know, I hear frequently, it's like, how are you always so pleasant? How do you never have a bad day? You know, why are you so bubbly? And I have to tell you, this last week was really, 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 really hard. And the only way that I can say positive or pleasant or moving forward is the strength that I get from the Lord. And I just love Him so much that I don't know how people could live even a moment without the Lord. So as I was studying and thinking about what to talk about today, the Lord brought to my attention Psalm 118:14-25. And this is from the Message version. And it says, you know, pushed to the wall, I called to God. From the wide open spaces, He answered. God's now at my side, and I'm not afraid. Who would dare lay a hand on me? God's my strong champion. I flick off my enemies like flies. Far better to take refuge in God than trust in people. Far better to take refuge in God than to trust in celebrities. Hemmed in by barbarians, in God's name, I rubbed their faces in the dirt. Being hemmed in and with no way out, in God's name, I rubbed their faces in the dirt. Like swarming bees, like wild prairie fire, they hemmed me in. And in God's name, I rubbed their faces in the dirt. I was right on the cliff edge, ready to fall, when God grabbed me and He held me. God's my strength, even in the heat of battle. He's also my song, and He's my salvation. Hear the shouts, hear the triumph songs in the camp of the saved. The hand of God has turned the tide. The hand of God is raised in victory, and the hand of God has turned the tide. So I don't know if you're going through a battle this morning or you feel like, man, you've been hemmed in. I tell you, I feel like I've been beat up inside and outside by the enemy this last week and this weekend. I lost my hard drive, lost all my work for a very long time. Don't know how we'll recover it. The recovery cost is far more than I can afford. I found out yesterday that a dear friend of mine is passing on to go to be with the Lord. I've just been in the most excruciating pain, and my pain levels are increasing. But I know that when I'm pushed on against the wall to call on God, and I call on God even when I'm not pushed against the wall, but I do know that He is the victor. I do know that I am the victor because He is living in and through me. And that God, His hand is going to turn the tide, that He is going to be raised up in victory. And I loved what it said here in this scripture where it says that I flick off my enemies like flies. So I just kind of envision at times that I'm just taking my high heel and I'm just squashing the Satan and the enemy and all of his demons and anything that they're doing to come against me. And no matter what, if it feels like I'm turned and hemmed in by everybody on every side, that I've got fire all around me, that I've got bees swarming me, and I've got people that are mean and unrightfully being abusive to me, that God's there. He's there with me in the heat of the battle, and I'm rubbing the enemy's face in the dirt because I can, because God's given me that authority, that he wants good things for me. He wants me to be full of hope. He tells us that in Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans for you, says the Lord. They're plans for good and not harm and not disaster. It's to give you a hope and a future." You know, the Lord tells us not to give up or walk away. I want you to think about somebody in the Bible. His name was Demas. I don't know if you remember the story of Demas. Well, most of us don't, because he was Paul's bud. He was Paul's right-hand guy. He was called to be an apostle with Paul. They were going to walk this walk out together. And it tells us in 2 Timothy 4:10, "Demas has deserted me because he loves the things of this life, and he's gone to Thessalonica." Crescens has gone to Galatia, and Titus has gone to Dalmatia. But Demas deserted because he loved the things of this life. He loved them more than he loved the call on his life. So I want you to take heart if there's anybody out there that's considering to abandon the call in their life, not to desert, but to walk it out. That the battle's hard sometimes. It tells us in the word that there's going to be suffering, plain and simple. But God promises us that he's going to bring us through the battle. You know, I was thinking about who are some women in the Bible that were really powerful women, that God wanted to say, you know what, take notice. They weren't the ones that deserted. They weren't the ones that walked away like Demas. And I was reminded about the story of Ruth and Orpah. Now, Ruth was willing to do what was unfamiliar and do what others would not or did not do. She did this on many fronts. She took care of her old widowed mother-in-law. Lots of us wouldn't do that. She gleaned. She went to a field. She went to a foreign country. She changed religion. She started following the one true God. She would go out to the fields and she would glean. That means she picks up the extra in order just to have food for her and her mother-in-law. Now, she was young, and she was beautiful, and she could have done so many other things, but instead, she decided to do what was right and fulfill the call in her life. She decided to listen to God. She did the everyday things, the ordinary things with excellence, and she cared for and took instruction from her mentor, who was her mother-in-law. So as you're doing your business, are you doing the everyday things with excellence? Are you caring for those that mentor you as well as for those you are put over? Do you take instruction? Think about Rebecca. Now, she was called, she had a great reward, right? But she was called at the time. How did they know that she was the wife for Isaac? Because she was hanging out at the well, okay? And doesn't mean that she was really just hanging there out there for fun. It wasn't like a local hangout. She was there because she was fetching water for her family. She was serving. She was doing her everyday life, her chores, showing up with excellence and doing what she needed to do. And she saw this man coming, and he had 10 camels. That meant that if he had 10 camels, that they would drink about 350 gallons of water. And back then, the jars were about 3 gallons, or because they were clay pots. It'd be really hard to carry much more than that in water. I don't know if you've ever carried even a plastic 5-gallon pail of water, but it's pretty heavy. So she had about 3 gallons of water in her jug. That meant in order to just water his camels, not his men, not himself, but just the camels themselves, it would take about 120 times, 120 trips back and forth to his camels, back and forth. But she was willing to do her everyday things with excellence. You know, in Ruth, let's go back to the story of Ruth. In Ruth 2:12, it tells us, "May the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge, reward you fully for what you've done." It tells us in the Word that the Lord's going to reward us fully for what we've done. So think about, what have you done? In the heat of the battle, or maybe not in the heat of the battle? In the everyday life, or the not-so-everyday life? You're going to be rewarded according to what we do. You know, to me, that's good news. For God's going to reward us for what we do. But if you do nothing, if you talk about doing business, think about doing business, think about fulfilling the call in your life, how can you get a reward? He can't reward you for things that you don't do. It tells us in 2 John 1:8, "Watch out that you do not lose what we have worked so hard to achieve. Be diligent so that you will receive your full reward." God wants to reward you. He wants to give you according to the measure of what you've sown, right? It also tells us in Matthew 16:27, "For the Son of Man will come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and he will judge all people according to their deeds." It tells us in Matthew 10:42, "And if you give even a cup of cold water to one of the least of my followers, you'll surely be rewarded." So it tells us here over and over and over again that the Lord is going to reward us according to what we do. It tells us in Galatians 6:7, "Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You'll always harvest what you plant." We harvest what we plant. The seeds that we plant, if we're booking and doing lots of parties, we'll have more bookings. We'll have more parties. If we make the phone calls that we need to do and the phone calls that we need to make, if they're booking calls, they're going to yield bookings. If they're opportunity calls, they're going to yield opportunity. If you go out and you prospect for new customers, you're going to yield new customers. It's God's law. It tells us that in Galatians 6:7, "Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant." So look at your life. Look at your business. What are you planting? Now, I'm not saying if you're going through a rough time and you just, I mean, it's just unbelievable the different things that are happening and showing up. Could it be that you've planted those seeds? Sure. Could it be an attack from the enemy? Sure. Could it be choices that you've made? Sure. And you're just reaping the consequences. But we know the rain falls on the just and the unjust. But it also tells us in 1 Timothy 5:17 and all of these other verses that we've read, to give a bonus to leaders who do a good job, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. Don't muzzle a working ox, and a worker deserves his pay. God wants to reward us. He wants to pay us good things. He's not there to smack our hands and say, "You know what, that was naughty, you need to not do that." Or, "You know, I'm just feeling like, you know what, somebody needs to grow a little bit and go through a rough time. I think today I'm going to pick Becky." No, he wants good things for us. Ruth was diligent in what she was called to do. She was not only diligent, she took risks. Think about this. This is the acronym for risk. She took responsibility. She sensed the need that she needed to step out, so she took responsibility. She took the initiative. That's I in the acronym risk. She acted even when no one else was willing to do it for her or with her. S, sacrifice. She made sacrifices to make things work. And knowledge. She possesses enough information to trust the decisions. She knew that she could trust Ruth. She knew she could trust Boaz and her reward for being faithful, for making a difference, to exhibiting phenomenal character above and beyond. It enabled her to do what was right even when it was difficult. She stepped out, and her reward was that she was in the lineage of Jesus. She was a pagan woman living in a foreign land, serving foreign gods, and wound up being in the lineage of Jesus because she was obedient, because she knew who her God was. She listened to her mentor. She was excellent in the things of every day, and she took some risks, risks that were led by God. Now, let me ask you this. Are you a man or are you a woman who's willing to make a difference, to not abandon their call? Or are you willing to be like Demas and follow the desires of this world? It's easier to say that I can't get any bookings. It's easier not to put yourself out there. It's easier not to offer prayer to someone else. It's easier not to make a difference. But I don't think that's who's on this call this morning. I don't think that's who's listening to this replay. You have a call in your life. It has a hope and a future. And God is, he's got your back. Go back and read Psalm 118, 14 through 25. Man, it's powerful. And if God did it for David, he's surely willing to do it for you. God's got your back. He expects you to take a risk. He expects you to fulfill the call in your life. Maybe it will require a little hard work, maybe a lot of hard work. Maybe you're going to be going back and forth 120 times just to the well to get water.
Ooh.
Maybe it's 120 phone calls. Maybe it's 120 parties or events. But if you know it's the call in your life, don't give up. Don't give in. Stand in hope. Stand strong. And give, just cry out to the Lord. He promises to answer in the heat of the battle. And he wants to hear the sounds of triumph. He wants you to praise him. You can be just like David and say, the hand of God has turned the tide. If you're going through that rough time, stand on that verse. Even if you don't see it, stand on it in faith. The hand of God has turned the tide. The hand of God has been raised in victory. The hand of God has turned the tide. And know God loves you. He's turned the tide on your behalf. God bless you, everybody. Have a fantastic week. I'm going to turn off the recording. We're going to take a few more prayer requests, and then we're going to go before the Lord in prayer. I love you, and so does God. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.